sat immediately behind the Baron. At first, Ryan couldn't see Jim Jennison. Then there was movement at the back, a swirl among the crowd, like mackerel when a shark was passing close by. The pale, short gunman picked his way slowly down the aisle, taking the one empty seat immediately to the right of Wizard Seidler. Though Jennison was physically unimpressive, like J.B., his half-brother, he had much the same sort of strength of presence, the kind of man you looked at once and ignored. Then you looked a second time, and you were quick to step aside. J.B. was at the livery stable, ostensibly checking out the rig and their horses, actually getting ready to make his move as soon as Ryan came and gave him the word. They timed the play at both the dress rehearsal and the previous night's performance. It ran 85 minutes without the intermission. The key scene, where the desperados were lured from the audience, came after 75 minutes. Capistrano appeared silently at Ryan's elbow, peering around the moth-eaten curtain.
Good house.
We got the special guests we wanted. Everything okay backstage?
Surely. Just like to say, in case we don't get another opportunity, Ryan, that it has been a pleasure to know you and your friends. A great pleasure.
I'm sorry we sucked you into this, Diego. It's not your fight.
The chubby little man smiled.
We do an entertainment that we call Saddle Sores, using quotes from the great actors of the old Western vids. One of them says, "There's some things that a man can't ride round." Like that. Well, this is one of those things that a man isn't able to ride around. You understand that, Ryan?
Yeah, I do. And I'm glad to shake your hand, Diego. And the hands of Knuckles and Ellie.
I think that Mistress Mort has been shaking more than just the hand of the excellent Dr. Tanner. Now, the world's a stage, and I must go and strut and fret for an hour or so. Until later.
If you cannot help me, sir, then I am lost and needs must give in to his wishes. Satisfy his lusts, and let him fuck me!
I'll fuck you, honey!
No!
But what can you do for me? It is not my wish to do this thing and lose my heart and my hope. It is my poverty, and not my will consents.
Ellie fell weeping to her knees, silencing the rowdy audience. Doc moved to stand by her, putting a hand on her shoulder, raising his sword stick in a defensive way.
Go to it, old man!
Ryan glanced at his timepiece. The play had been running now for just over an hour. It was going well. Seidler had been seen to laugh and applaud several times, once leaping to his feet and putting a bullet from one of his matched Navy Colts into the ceiling, showering the front three rows with a white cloud of plaster. It was time to go around the rear of the stage into the maze of little passages and darkened rooms, to the exit door with its bar lock. Time to go and warn J.B. that the deal was going down. The cinema was warm and smoke-filled, the area out the back cooler and fresher. When Ryan opened the door, propping it with a wooden wedge, it was about 9 o'clock. There was a bright moon, gleaming silver off the patches of slick ice in the alley. The temperature was around 10 degrees below freezing, and a light wind blew from the east. It was good weather for making a fast escape, and good weather for anyone organizing a pursuit. Ryan was back at the side of the stage. A few moments earlier, he had caught the faint sound of a horse snickering, and he wondered whether Seidler was careful enough to post sentries around the old cinema. He decided, from everything they'd seen, Wizard wasn't that sort of baron. Ellie had just stepped to the front of the stage, dropping a deep curtsy to the audience, somehow contriving to aim her charm specifically at Wizard Seidler.
My lords and ladies!
Seidler slowly stood, allowing his narrowed eyes to scan the rows of seats. His hands hovered over the grips of the antique revolvers, and Ryan, spying around the curtain, realized he was modeling his pose on gunfighters and vids.
Let the little lady say what she has to. Young stoops now, all gall and no sand. On you go, my dear.
Thank you kindly, Baron. I'm much obliged to you for that.
Get on with it.
Every minute that passed generated a greater risk of someone wandering past the alley and seeing J.B. with the wagon and the spare horses.
For this part of the play, we need 6 people to portray the gang of lawless villains that are being hired to kidnap me and butcher my true and loyal friends. You will come to no harm, and you will be returned to your seats in time to witness the climactic moments of our play.
I done it last night.
And very good he was, too.
Oh, I want to be one of the outlaw gang. How about that?
Ryan smiled to himself. The man was such a stoop. It was hard to think of him as being behind the cruel torture and slaughter of a little boy. But Ryan knew that the truly wicked could easily look like evangelical priests on vacation.
How about the lovely lady at your side, Baron? Does she care to pretend to be wicked for a few minutes?
Rena Miller uncoiled from her seat, brushing back the cascade of raven hair.
I'll be wicked when I fucking like, lady.
There's two! Four more! You, perhaps!
Ellie held out her hands to Jennison, Gooseneck, Julio, and Ossie Grant. Led by Seidler, the killers filed dutifully onto the stage, looking embarrassed at the wave of applause that Ellie generated for them. Ryan vanished from the side of the stage, ready for the last act, the infamous final scene. There was a dark space just inside the rear entrance to the multiplex. Outside, there was the silver rectangle of moonlight and the dull glitter of the ice. Ryan and JB couldn't hope to conceal the sound of the horses in the burrow, their hooves clacking, harness jingling. The hope was that it would all be over so quickly, none of their intended victims would have any time to consider there was something wrong. They waited in the blackness, ready for Ellie to bring them the first of the gang.
Oh, Baron, that's naughty of you.
I'm supposed to be a sexed-up outlaw, so that's what I am. How about a quick blowjob here and now, Ellie?
Spoil the play, Baron. But tell you what, I'll come to your room right after the last act's over. I'll start by sucking hard, and it'll just get harder and harder. That'd be good?
Sounds better than good. After you, little lady.
No, you know the way better than I, Baron. You go first.
Ryan saw the figure, silhouetted perfectly against the moonlight. He and JB had rehearsed the attacks in the bedroom. Seidler went down. There was no talk between Ryan and JB as they heaved the unconscious man into the bed of the rig. The armorer had liberated some baling wire from the stable and cut it into short lengths. He tugged Seidler's arms behind him and looped the wire around his wrists, twisting it tight. Ellie had stood there for a moment as though she'd been struck by lightning, her hands to her mouth. Ryan turned to her.
Great. One down, five to go. You're doing terrific, Ellie.
He stooped to kiss the trembling woman quickly on her cold cheek and pushed her gently back toward the stage. Gooseneck, the mutie, was the second victim. As they lifted him into the wagon, blood was trickling from his mouth, nose, and ears.
Nelson won't pay us for cold meat. Be more careful.
Ossie Grant was third in line. He half-turned from Ryan, sensing a trap, and JB had to cold-cock him with the butt of the shotgun, hitting him in the throat, while Ryan stepped silently in and took him from the side. JB knelt again with a fresh strip of the baling wire.
Ryan, we got the minimum we need to save Mildred, Christie, and Dean.
Reckon we should just chill the other three?
Quick and safe.
We might lose one or two on the road.
JB nodded, his glasses flashing in the moonlight.
Guess so. Heads up, Ryan. Got us another customer coming.
Julio went down like a lamb.
The audience is getting restless. Want to go through on the last pair?
Uh-huh. Though without these five killers and without their barons, gonna be like a headless chicken.
Give us more time to make it away. Do it.
Rena Miller nearly got clear. She must have suspected something was wrong, because she already had her .38 Colt Cobra drawn in her hand, pushing Ellie ahead of her through the dark passages toward the door. Ryan chopped at her wrist with the edge of his palm. Rena dropped to her knees. Ryan didn't hesitate, kicking her on the side of the head.
Tough bitch.
She's a woman.
She's a cold-hard bitch. You start feeling sorry for someone like Rena Miller, and you find yourself on your back with the rain falling in your open eyes.
Oh, there's only that one, Jennison, left. Do I have
to... Yeah, do it. Then get on with the last part of the play.
Ellie came to him for support, but he pushed her away. There wasn't time for that. JB glanced at his watch.
Running late, Ryan. Five down. Only one more for us to take. Jim Jennison. Just one to take.
In the rig, one of their victims was recovering consciousness. Ryan hopped quickly in and found it was Julio. The blonde hair was clotted with dark blood, and the man's pale blue eyes were open and staring.
Can you give me a...
Oh!
Night-night.
He and JB waited for Ellie to return for the last time. They could hear the heels of her lace-up boots clacking on the stone, drowning out the sound of anyone accompanying her. The feet stopped just at the opening to the last room before the exit.